which individual, which human being is there who specifically relating to this day and age for us all, whether it's individually or collectively, that we are in a generation where there are a lot of issues and problems. And we cannot say that there's happiness everywhere. We cannot say that there's the feeling of content over there. People are just sitting and eating and drinking and there's enjoyment. And we say that, oh, if they're eating and drinking and enjoying themselves and mashallah, they're happy. But collectively, if we take out a percentage from the total population, collection, that which percentage has a link with Islam, with peace, with sakina, with aman, that not just a Muslim is in amal individually and practicing and exemplifying peace, but he distributes and spreads that peace and teaches peace and demonstrates peace. This is our history. This is our glorious history. But if we see today, then upon the ummah, there is an ajeeb and a very challenging time we're in. And in reality, if we look at the foundation, then nobody is happy. Nobody is happy. Those who eat and drink, those who have cars, those who have wealth, those who have money, those who have employment, nobody is happy. Rather, there's a common illness today, and it's so shocking that we don't even imagine that we should have this within us, that it should be within us, and it's called depression. This illness of depression, which has no historical basis, this word or this illness. Many, we can see medically, I researched that what is the root cause of this illness of depression? Why does depression come about? And it's surprising to know that the patient, the mariz, not just one, rather I will say, forgive me, but everyone who is sitting in front of me now, everyone probably is immersed in depression. This is the reality. Hakikat. So nobody can define it properly, that what is depression? Why is there depression? What is the name of this disease and why is it there? So-called disease. No, 99.9%, nobody is satisfied today. People have depression, mental issues. This is an illness. And I'm speaking about happiness, and the rest is everything is in front of us. This happened today, that happened, this happened, this much happened, etc. Like a flood, the time is passing by. And we speak a lot of rubbish and nonsense. Please help me, give him charity here, charity there. But nobody looks at why is all of this occurring? Where have all these problems emanated from? Where have the difficulties arisen from? Who is responsible for this? Who creates this? What's the reasoning behind it? Who is it? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created the whole universe. And Allah is in control of everything. Allah ta'ala said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Not a leaf can move without my permission. Not an eyelid can... You cannot bat your eyelid without my permission, Allah says. No one can move an inch without my permission, Allah says. No one has the strength, no one has the power. Now, this is the reality. So in this scenario, if we are drowned, the insan, the human beings, especially those with iman, that we are unaware of the cure. We are so immersed in the issues that we are unaware of the cure. And we've burnt the boats and the bridges and we don't realize how to make amends. So it's a very simple solution for this so-called illness. Subhanallah. That Allah Ta'ala has made it so simple and easy that most definitely if we practice this today, then the whole ummah will have a beautiful and fresh feeling within it. Because Allah Ta'ala will give the cure and we will have the greatest solution and happiness within us as an ummah. So if we see in the millions and millions of people of bad issues, wife issues, children, disobedience, daughters running away, son is running away, in front of us the children are doing something, away from us is something else, haya is gone, modesty has gone, iman has gone. There's so much negative, but we don't know what is the solution. We have no thought or regard to what we should do. So, the punishments Allah Ta'ala gives to insan, they come in the world. And then the hereafter, we cannot imagine what will occur there. Now if today somebody wants to cure this problem, and in reality, this reason for this illness is what? And what is the cure for this illness? We need to think. And what is the benefit? Who's taking the benefit of the cure? So historically, if we look at the universe, how did the universe come about? What was the first dialogue? Iblis and Rabbul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Kareem, Rabbul Khaliq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and then Iblis rejected, and then Allah declared him as disobedient, and he did dua that Allah, you are sending me away, you are expelling me. He knew that Allah will accept dua because he was an alim, Iblis. And he said, okay, fair enough, Allah Ta'ala, you're expelling me, but give me a time span that your servants, that let me influence them and let me recruit them. So Allah Ta'ala said, okay, I will give you some time. And this is where that story began, isn't it? So my brothers, Shaytan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him power and permission that he can run in the veins just like the blood runs in the veins. And Shaytan, Iblis, jinn, he is from the jinnat. He is a form of jinn. You know the jinnat? They are, you can say, the offspring or the workers of Shaytan, the bad jinnat. All of them. And he is from that same matter. From same that same form of creation. Okay? So the amount of fasad we see in the world, wherever it is, in homes, whatever's occurring, which is fasad, which is bad, which is not good, which is evil, what happens in our homes, we know what the reason is. There's one wahid reason for this, that shaytan asked permission, sought permission from Allah to influence us, the human beings, and from the jinnat, and he then spread his influence throughout the world. So every human being has a jinn, which is sat there next to him, or you could say with him, whether a person's praying salah, whether he's a hafidh, whether he's a qari, whether he's a dhakir, in whichever way. But the jinnat are within that person. And when a jinn comes into a person, my friends, then that jinn fulfills its desire and objective with the full power and strength. These words that I'm discussing with you, there are many people who have the nazar, who have the vision. I am presenting the summary of their words to you all. I'm not speaking a wasteful talk or from opinion. This is very beneficial what I'm telling you. Very beneficial. So I will summarize this so much because this is a very detailed subject, but I'm just giving you some hints so we can understand this topic. Whenever an individual commits a disobedient act, who is guiding him? Allah? No, Shaytan, the Shayateen. When a person says that fight with my mother, with my sister, argue with this person, fight with this person, be angry with this person, or do this to this person, harm this person, then who is behind all of that? Shaytan is influencing. He fulfills his objectives 100%. And then he creates the disease and illnesses within the human being, different types and forms that we see. That 90%, the reason why a person becomes ill, and that it's not due to germs and bacteria, but it's due to the ill effects of shaitan from within. Subhanallah. And the shayateen, the effects that take effect within a person, and they make a person become ill, and different types of illnesses come up within a person. That's shaitan that's carrying out his actions. So from this, who is benefiting? Shaitan. That, for example, who are benefiting most? Those shaitani individuals who are called amil, the magicians, the sorcerers that make shaitan, their friends, the exorcists, and they have friendship with shaitan, that we will work with you. And the taweez and the gande and the potions and the magic spells, they make a person commit shirk. And they make that individual, the shaitan, he makes a person trust so much those amils and the magicians and the sorcerers that their trust and belief in Allah reduces, diminishes and disappears. So they consider that this is the path, this is the solution, this amil, this magician, this sorcerer, this exorcist, this person who has the magic spells will cure us. I have no other way, I have to go to him. He only he can cure my problems. And the human being reaches to such a level and he accepts that even if he doesn't have iman, the person who's the magician, even if he is a person without iman, he will go to that person for the cure, solution. I'm telling you, this is the historically and even now. This is what we do. Cure, ilaj. Now we'll cut this. There are many examples like this. So when I said that every human being has a jinn, so the sahib another, those who have vision and foresight and have the knowledge of this subject, say that look, in every human being there's a jinn, and I can show this to you, and he will speak. Allah, every insan, you good people who are well, and he was a good man, and the jinn overtook him, possessed him, and the jinn is with it. So this, he's got a beard, he's mashallah pious, he prays salah, he's got a jinn inside him, and the jinn's speaking and he's laughing. He said that I have overcome this person, I've controlled this person. So 99.9% individuals are possessed by a jinn. And the reason the Quran tells us the reason. Why? The person's fine, totally well. And he says that I will show the jinn right now. And demonstrate. A person had a severe headache. He said, this is a jinn. He said, how can this be a jinn? He's ill, he'll take a Panadol and he'll be cured. Watch. He said, no, it was a jinn that gave him that pain. He said, I will make him have that headache and show the pain. There are two things that affect a jinn, mostly. Remember this point. There are two illnesses. One is the rahim of the woman, because the period of the menstruation of the woman disturbed the jinn. This hadith, shaitan, the rahmah, the mercy of the woman, he kicks away from that. Whenever you see a woman has the illness of the menstruation, then either it will increase or reduce, it disturbs. And many women have this illness, and men, when the jinn controls a man, mostly when the shaitan gives the illness, the jinnat, is the stomach that they affect. The stomach is upset always. He's going to the doctor. Doctor says, nothing wrong with him. We have cured him. And we've given you the medicine. Is there heat on him? Okay. So they cure. People go to the doctors medically. They try to take medicines and different. They're having scans and this and that. Different sort of remedies they look for. But they don't understand the root cause. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So homeopathic medicine, allopathic, Hakim. But the pain is there. In reality, what are these the effects of? The jinn. So I'll tell you the reason. So for the woman, during the menstrual cycle, the effect takes place, the pain, the effect. And when for the man's stomachache, will you take the cure? And if you say it's not, then I can show you Hazir, and he will speak that the jinn is then. If the jinn doesn't speak, then we can say that it's not a fact. In every individual there's a jinn, and there's a reason for this. There's a reason for this. And this jinn, they promised that I'm going to deliver this person to Jahannam. So this friendship we have, sleeping, waking up, eating, walking, strolling around, we have friendship with this jinn, with the shaitan. We speak, we communicate. So how can that shakhs, that jinn, allow us to leave this world with iman? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua, the Ya Kareem, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do this dua that when we are passing away dying, then shaitan, please save us from the effects of shaitan and give us hujjatul iman. And this is another dua. That Ya Kareem, Ya Rabbul Alameen, when we're dying, then please save us from the strength and effect of shaitan. This is the dua we need to ask for. Till the end point, shaitan will try to continue his friendship with us. So either take the jinn out today, and I'll tell you the method, inshallah, to expel the jinn. And those who are listening at home, women, men, wherever you are, your jinn will come out. And the method the Quran is prescribing to us. You don't need to go to an amil, to a magician. Who do you need to go to? Go to your Rabb, Rabbul Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. End of story. That's it. Just go to Allah. No jinn will remain. No jinn. You cannot imagine the jinn will remain. Shaitan will remain. So what's the cure? Very good cure. And this illness is there, and due to which we have issues in this whole ummah today, the fasad, is for this reason, this increasing like a river, like a flooded river. But the cure that is one and mentioned in the Quran, prescribed in the Quran, very simple cure for this disease. Ruju ila Allah. That Allah Ta'ala says, turn to your Lord. Ruju ila Allah. That's it. That's all we need to do. You will see that shaitan, you will trap him, you will control him, that when there are such situations in our lives, a person will burn ta'weez, he'll run to the magicians, the amil, the jinn master, he'll do any action of shirk, that somehow I need to get out of this problem. But the Quranic prescription and cure, shaitan will not allow us to practice that, so we can turn to Allah. So from this we realize that that person's iman has evaporated, he has no trust in Allah, in the Quran, in his Rasul, because he's not accepting the disease. In reality, his iman is not turning towards Allah, he is immersed in shirk, because he has trust and reliance on those things that are totally mamnoor, that are not allowed, and we accept those things. We believe in those things. And the real ilaj, the real cure, the Quranic and the Sunnah cures that Allah has given to us, we don't have yaqeen and belief in that. We say, no, 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 I will get yaqeen from these wrong potions and magic and spells and whatever is present there. That this amil, this person who's a jinn master, the magician, whatever he gives to me, I will burn the candles that he tells me to burn, I'll burn the strings that he'll tell me to burn, I'll do the actions that he tells me to do to get success. But it will never come. It will never come. And the second cure, so remember what now is a raju ila Allah, turn to Allah. Focus on Allah, understand the cure. But even upon this, we don't descend totally. We don't. Raju ila Allah. I just spoke to you about jinn, and the masters have told us, we think raju ila Allah is what? The cure. We mistakenly take the cure to be what? Everyone listen, that the person who starts to pray salah, we think he's got the cure. Oh, let's start doing good deeds, 5 times a day salah, read Quran, recite Quran, go in tabligh, do dhikr. Is this ruju ila Allah? Focusing on Allah? No. No. So when people start doing these actions, ibadat, worship actions, and physically apparently they're practicing the deen, then they consider, or he or she considers, I'm ruju ila Allah, I'm focusing on Allah. But even then the jinn is as strong as ever within that person and controlling the actions of the person. So the next attack of the jinn is what? You see that that person said, do this, if you turn to Allah, now you're praying salah, you're reading Quran, you're doing dhikr, and you're doing good actions. You were told that when you start doing pious actions, you'll be cured, but nothing's happening. There's no cure in your life. So this, another big attack of shaitan comes, that he then totally detaches that person from iman and makes him give up forever, lose hope. He says, no, this path is right. No, 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 I was told that when I start doing good deeds, amal, and I will be freed from shaitan, if I recite Surah Baqarah in the night, the jinn will leave me, and if I read Ayat al-Kursi, the verse of the throne, the jinn will come out. We all say this, don't we? So take the jinn out today, that recite the Ayat al-Kursi and see if the jinn comes out. The jinn will not come out. Shaitan will come out. Tell me, Sahib Nazar showed me that, look at this person who thinks that this is the cure. Ayat al-Kursi, look at the kamal. I am telling you those points now. That insan, human being, recites Ayat al-Kursi, the verse of the throne, and the Quran has said this, that jinn will go. So if you recite Ayat al-Kursi, and that jinn will laugh, it will not have any effect on him. And he's still there, the disease is still there. So that person's yaqeen then evaporates. Why? What's the reason? Allahu Akbar, I'll tell you the reason. First, understand what is raju ila Allah. Raju ila Allah isn't just that you pray salah, dhikr, read Quran, and improve your appearance, and wear the attire. And now I've got raju ila Allah. So why have I got issues in my life still? Why am I affected by jinn and shaitan still? So that means a doubt has come in my life. Oh, so the amil, he said to me, oh, if I listened to him, I would have been successful by now. But I didn't, I went towards the deen, Islam, and even now I'm not succeeding. Then he starts to reduce the practice on the deen, na'udhu billah. May Allah protect and protect us. Why? Because the jinn has trapped that person on a point that he was in need. And he says that, oh, if I'm practicing Islam, so the shaitan and the jinn make his practice his weak point. Oh, okay, let me go back from the deen and go back to the amil, the magician. And then he'll become weak and his doubts will increase and he becomes a mushrik because he goes towards the shirk laden actions. So what is ruju ila Allah? Allah has defined to us in the Quran. Surah Nuh, I think it is in there, the verse. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. Allah has told us clearly that recite, Allah says, recite istighfar. And if you do istighfar, then the earth will bring out the gold and rain will fall down from the skies and the rain of mercy will descend. So is the Quran correct or are we correct? Tell me. Or is our nafs correct? Our desires, are they correct? Is Allah and Allah's kitab and Allah's Rasulullah's blessed statements correct? Or are our desires correct? So we consider Raju ila Allah, I've done tawbah, and I'm pious now, I'm practicing Islamic actions. So why are then the negatives happening against us? This is deception, isn't it? In reality, we have not done the tawbah that Allah Ta'ala told us to do. We haven't done Raju ila Allah. We haven't. Why? Because ruju' ila Allah, there are two. There are two. One is to follow the ahkams of Allah, totally to submit ourselves and obey the laws of the orders of Allah. Because this is submission. Submission. There are two parts of ruju' ila Allah. Number one is Allah Ta'ala's hukam, Allah's ahkams, Allah's orders to perform them, obey them. What is Allah's hukam? Whatever Allah Ta'ala says to complete Allah's order, pray salah, give zakah, do hajj. This is what Allah Ta'ala is ordering us. And do amal on Rasulullah's sunnah and to practice it. And this Allah Ta'ala is saying, the whatever I tell you to refrain from, to leave those actions. But what do? We do the opposite. We say those actions that, oh, whatever what we are doing, what we feel like doing, let's carry on doing whatever Allah has told us to refrain from. If we don't leave it, there's no loss. Opposite, pray salah. If you're praying salah and those sins that Allah has told us to stop and leave, we carry on doing those. And in parallel, we pray salah. We say, oh, he prays salah, so he will not be affected by the sins. No. The salah then is devoid of nur. That Quran is then devoid of nur. That dhikr and adhkar is devoid of nur if we're sinning in parallel. That ayat al-kursi is devoid of nur. And the effects, the good effects of those deeds evaporate due to our disobedience in parallel. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, in that way and manner, if we don't do amal, and then there's even an atom's weight of difference on the standard that Allah has laid down, then we'll have no nur and goodness in our deeds. I'll give you a mustanid example of ayat al-kursi. And that person who had vision, who was a guide, he said that the ayat al-kursi was recited on the jinn, there was no effect on the jinn. He said, look, there's no effect on the jinn. The jinn is still playing with the individual and evil forces there. But if I recite ayat al-kursi in the way that Allah Ta'ala said, that what is the hukum of Allah? That when you read Quran, then ta'awuz. So when he recited a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim and recited ayat al-kursi, then that jinn ran off straight away. He had a big difference. Desires cannot succeed, my friends. Not our choice and opinion. Definitely the effect of the Quran will take place. The person who prays salah, he prays salah. But if Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to us, remember this, Allah Ta'ala has instructed us a kalima. Yes, there's a kalima in it, radutu billahi islam. And if we continue, the sahabi, he asked, Ya Rasulullah, he instructed that recite this. And instead of Rasul, he said Nabi. And then he said, I didn't say this to you. I said this word here. Why did you recite a different word? And the meaning, Rasul, Nabi, look at the difference. So, just as the instruction comes down to us, Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have instructed us, if we know those amal not in that way, then the effects will not take place. In no way or form will they take place if we carry out the actions in a different way. So my brothers, what is the masla? What is the issue? That we are trapped, do this many khatam, this many Quran, so many difficulties, problems, Ayatul Kursi will guide us, and if we do this, this will go, nothing will go. How will the problems go? Rujoo ila Allah, and how will you do rujoo ila Allah? That totally, those things that Allah Ta'ala said, they're haram, we need to take them out of our lives. An-nufl, have to take them out of our lives. That the sins should never be. I'm amazed somebody's doing dhikr, doing all the actions. He's practicing. We'll ask him. That yes, I've got a TV at home. Tell me that after so much struggle and you're rubbing all the struggle in that dirt. I'll give you an example, a small example. Then you can decide yourself. This hadith. There are hadith in that home where there's a dog, then the angel of Rahmah and Mercy can never come to that home. You accept this? In that home where there's a picture, the angel of Rahmah will never come. You accept this? So now I ask you a question, that if there's a dog, a big dog, and the puppy, if you bring a puppy at home, the puppy, the child of the dog, will the angel of Rahmah come? No, because it's a dog. Whether it's not a big dog, it's a small dog, it's a dog, we accept. So now, if we pray salah in that home, we read recite Quran, will the angels of Rahmah come? No, because there's a dog in that house. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, in that heart, in that body, in that place, where we are praying salah, doing dhikr, reciting Quran, we're doing all of the actions, but Allah Ta'ala's disobedience is there in parallel, doesn't matter if it's a minor or a major, then how can Rahmah, how can mercy come? Then Adab will come to that place. So these two things can never be in one place. Jinnat and Shayateen, they have made us feel good, they carry on sinning, no difference, because you've prayed salah. Tell me, this is normal in our lives today, totally this has become our mizaj. Our way. The Ramadan comes, we fast all of Ramadan. We'll do all the actions. And then after that, we'll carry on the same level of banditry and committing the crimes and the sins. Why? There's one reason that we've got problems and difficulties. All of the issues is one reason. That the reason for the jinnah to evaporate. But today the jinnah have so much power, so much strength that we cannot imagine. That with iman, they're playing with iman. We lose iman. We have Quran in the hearts and ilm and knowledge. Whatever we have, dhikr and adhkar. But totally that person's devoid of peace and contentment and satisfaction. His salah, his fasting, nothing gives success. We are immersed in the dunya, overcome and overtaken by shaitan and jinn. And they look at our basis, our glorious status. Why? Because shaitan has trapped us. Just like I said, every man, jinn is possible. It's most possible that jinn is in every man. It's possible. Because of the power of the jinnah today. And this is the loss in the evil. There's so much in the world today. It's like a flood that's spreading so fast and nobody can stop it. So my brothers, if we want to be saved from difficulties, problems, distress, then we need to make our lives from our homes to outside. We don't need no wazifa, no chilla, no amount of time struggling, no amil, no magician. Allah has told us straight in the Quran that honestly turn to me and do tawbah and turn to me honestly. And you don't need no big wazifa recitation, 100,000, do this tasbih in the homes, do this many khatam. Nothing is required. If we want a good effect, positive effect, then the positive effect will come from the solution of the Quran, that this is the solution, Allah says. End of story. But nobody can challenge that. Nobody can harm us if we follow the solution. So the Amils today, they have taken control of the jinnat. They send the jinnat to people's homes, their lives, and they overtake people's lives. And then that person is totally yakin that I've been overtaken by jinn, shaitan. I need not to go to the Quran. I need to go to the Amil, the magician. Because the Amil knows he's got the jinn in control. He sent the jinn to cast a spell on that person. Then that person turns to the Amil. Then he says, you can recite your wazifa, read Quran, do your tasbih. But because that person's overtaken by the jinn, shaitan, and he's committing sins, and the ayat al-kursi will not affect him in a positive way, and then he has total yaqeen that the magician will help me, and they do shirk, and then they pay the amil, and then the amil, he casts a spell, because he had the control of the jinn, then he orders the jinn to leave him, that bring him, oh, the son becomes disobedient, oh, bring from this, from that, the jinn, they fulfill the order of the magician, and they make that person who had iman feel that, oh, it's the amil who solved my problems, Allahu Akbar, and then he turns away from Allah. This is a punishment for Allah. That person becomes a mushrik. And then he'll run for everything left, right, towards the amil. Na'udhu billah, na'udhu billah. And this person become our peer, our sheikh. Yes, and the name of peer has been destroyed today. He's our sheikh. He solves our problems. He takes me away from my issues. And he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine this. So now me, you, us, the reason of this discussion, my friends, is that this majlis is the majlis of tazkiyah, alhamdulillah. May Allah Ta'ala give His fadl, His mercy. We get an opportunity, we speak, we discuss regularly. So this is the sabak that we need to learn, the lesson that let's not stay in a misconception or umrah or hajj and our deeds. If we want to be good individuals, good human beings and be purified, then we need to leave the sins not in darkness or light, hidden outside, isolation apparent. When the nafs, so-called forces us that do this action, no one's watching, do this, who's going to see me, who's going to watch me? Then consider that this moment the shaitan is influencing me, trying to overtake me, trying to overcome me, trying to make friendship with me. Jinn is there. Shaitan is there, and it's very easy to extract the jinn, to expel the jinn. If you are saved from the sins, you have left the sins, and you are doing full ibadat, and your home is pure and clean, totally, there's no sin that you've kept out, no pictures, no dogs, no cats, no music, no songs, nothing. Whatever Rasulullah has told us to refrain from, I've told you this, that even if it's an atom's weight of dust of disobedience, that will bring a lanat and curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with istighfar, we need to eliminate this. Eliminate totally, that life should be in accordance to Allah Ta'ala's desire, Allah Ta'ala's orders. Just like Rasulullah SAW has told us, that even if it's a minor so-called sin, when these things come into the house, shaitan comes in, jinnat come in. This, I've seen this myself, these physical problems, that shaitan, they come inside the house with you if you don't recite the dua on entering the home. And they, so many of them come into the house, the shaitan and jinn, they don't do salam, no dua, nothing, wretchedness, darkness, evil. We think this is sunnah, in this way I can do this and I think I follow sunnah. No, this is protection Allah Ta'ala has given from the jinnat. Protection. Yes, I've maybe told you before, I've seen myself with my eyes, this happened with me. I didn't recite the dua, and those jinnat came in. with me. They're trying to get into the house, trying to squeeze through, and I'm trying to stop the jinn, just like you're sitting. So what a big punishment Allah Ta'ala gives. Tell me. And I think I'm a sheikh, I'm a dhakir, I'm a teacher, I pray tahajjud, and all of my deeds in front of me. No, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if one son of mine you compromise, one protection is broken, one barrier is broken down and dropped, then you are wasting all of your ibadat, your practice. So why do I deceive myself? So walis of Allah and the friends are those people who every moment, every second are implementing the du'as, the protection, the actions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to us. They don't promote that I'm a sheikh, I'm pious, I'm this and that. No, no. Allah, if He's given a miracle to us, if He's given us uruj and heights with the Quran, with the ilm, with fiqh, with jurisprudence, this is a great inam and reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to be saved from the evil, there's only one tariqah, one method, that seek protection from shaitan, eliminate haram 100% from our lives, and our lives will be full of noor ala noor, and the hadith will benefit us. I'll give you an example. The shaitan came in, said, no, I'm not going to leave, I'm going to come into the house anyway. So I came to the challenge, the clash, and then I implemented the solution. I said, what do I do now? Subhanallah. He said, look, I will show you. And he showed something very quickly. He said, this street, I will show you a game. Look at this. And he knocked on the door and he embraced Shaitan and said, look here, that this home, everything I'll get, every the ease I will enter this home and I will live in this house. And he went into the house and jumped in. From the masjid, I saw him stopping people going to the masjid. This same shaitan. Now how? I'm telling you, the opposite, those faces that I see every day in the masjid, in Allah's home, he's stopping them from entering into the masjid. Every person with hand three or four or five people, he stops them coming to the masjid. Some are leaving, some are stopping. I say, what is this game? He said, this game that those who have slipped and they're going in, these are those people who have got the protection, they've protected themselves from my trap. They recited the dua. When they left home, they recited the dua. And the path that Rasulullah prescribed to them on the path to the masjid, they recited this. Subhanallah, what a great tool Allah has given. Again, shaitan, wallahi, I'm telling you the truth. We consider this as a minor. We're leaving home, we recite your dua, we're saved. I swear by Allah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the words emanated from His blessed statement that the angels will leave your home and come with you to protect you. These are the words that if you recite Ayatul Kursi and sleep on the bed, then one angel will sleep with you all night long and protect you. Protect you. I've experienced this myself. That I didn't recite Ayatul Kursi once. All night long I was struggling and tussling with shaitan. And shaitan came in, knocked on the door, came in and came inside. So after that, that doesn't affect, because that one thing you rejected, that one sunnah, you neglected, you compromised, that protection that Allah Ta'ala gave to us, we leave it. Then the shaitan came in and he jumped to the occasion and he benefited and there was a clash. And then I freed myself from shaitan. So I'm telling you all of these words, these advices, my friends, my brothers, that look here, we have made the appearance, we've got imam, ma'adoti, this becomes ria, this becomes shirk. If in our lives we are including the sins in our life, then this is to show people and show others. If we've got sins in parallel, then we're committing fraud in the world. Look, I tell you a big point here, that the mu'min, the shan, the status of a mu'min, the me, you, all the believers, Allah has given us such strength and power. And that we cannot imagine the strength and the power that Allah Ta'ala has given to each and every one of us. But shaitan within us has attacked us and he's made us khabith, he's made us lower our status. We think we're nothing. We have an inferiority complex. We've lowered ourselves in our own eyes. That a kalima recited by a Muslim reaches to the heavens, to the arsh. I swear by Allah, this is the strength in our tongues by shayateen and jinnat within us due to our haram actions. They're in our homes, in our lives. They've influenced us. So nothing of ours benefits us. None of our deeds benefits us. The jinns, I swear by Allah, they laugh at us. I swear by Allah, I tell you, they laugh on our ibadah, on our salah, on the Quran that we recite, they laugh at us. They laugh and say, look at their appearance, they think they're pious, they're practicing these, they're foolish people. Look at their appearances, look at the dhoti, they're praying the imama. And we know what they do in reality in life. They sin. Why? Why? Because brothers, these are the words of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us the advice that one morsel of haram, if it goes into the stomach of a person, then how many days of ibadah is not accepted? The alim will tell us. 40 days is it? Is it 40 days? Qari sahab? Mullani sahab? I'm not an alim. 40 days. What is not accepted? the dua, the ibadah, salah, where's it gone then? Where's the Quran gone then? Where's dhikr gone then? And this for us is nothing. We say, no, because shaitan has played the game. They said, leave all of this. What difference does it make? You're doing dhikr. Look, you're doing dhikr, you'll be fine. I have explained to you that we are doing dhikr, but if haram is present, then rahmah will not come. Just like the dog is there, and if you are putting out the prayer mat and praying salah, Quran, tahajjud, tasbihat, ayat of the Quran. Tell me, what is this? Yes, well, the effects of the dog will come. Yes, you can, because the dog is present. So if inside us there are dogs, doesn't matter how much Quran I recite, do ibadah, if there's haram within me and with me, then tell me the big wall is erected between me and the arham of Allah. We are so from Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, you can ask, I will give to you. I will give to you so much, I'm so close to you, Allah Ta'ala says, so close to you, that Allah Ta'ala says, I listen to you, to your call. But we have no need to go to anyone else at that time. Then. No need. Look at this. And how far sins have taken us from Allah. No, leave it. I just have the TV to look at the news. Just to look at a few politics and just current affairs. Just to some stories. Nothing is minor. Nothing. If Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us to do something, we do it. If he told us to leave it, leave it. To go to bed in the night according to the sunnah. To go into the toilet to recite the dua. Leaving the toilet, the dua. Coming in, the dua. This is the deen. And what else is the deen? And this is the called hadith and deen. And what else is there? Nothing. What else is there? The muhaddith, they will explain to you. To us. So thawab, leave thawab. Allah Ta'ala said that our iman will be saved and will be preserved for thereafter. If we leave the sins, if we leave the haram, if we leave the disobedient actions. But if we sit in the car, recite the dua, what action in our lives, A to Z, is there not a dua for full protection? That all my life long, all my day long, I keep on doing ibadat, night ibadat, but I don't recite a dua for coming into the house. Then look at the hal. Look at the hal. What occurs? So now a man should think that so much ibadah, I've done ibadah, worship, and I've recited the dua, shaitan. No, that's the path of shaitan. The shaitan, if you haven't recited the dua, then shaitan says, I will attack and your protection will have gone. You're not immune from me. And then the ill effects will take place. So brothers, my friends, if we want to make our akhirah, our hereafter and our goodness in this world, then the biggest action is to detach ourselves from the trap of shaitan. Let me tell you this dua, A'udhu Billahi. A'udhu billahi, samiul shaitani rajim. This is that dua, listen to it. The importance of this dua and what has been recited. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the Mount of Hira, when Jibreel alayhi wasallam came, then first dua that was recited, that was taught to Rasulullah from his blessed tongue stated, though my Habib teach him, my Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the same first dua, A'udhu billahi. This is the dua that was taught, ta'awuz, protection from shaitan. This is the strength of shaitan and we need to seek refuge from him. This is the power he has. So if a person wants to depart from the world with iman, with belief, remember, with the kalima, and we want to make our akhira good, our world good, then the shayateen, we need to expel them from our bodies, from inside, from our company. Ruju ila Allah. From both ways, we have to implement Allah's orders, and secondly, those sins that Allah Ta'ala has told us to leave, we need to leave them. Doesn't matter what happens. If we do it, the sin, then the effect will straight away take place. The ibadat will be burnt. Ilm will go. Hadith will go. Quran will go. That's it. There's nothing else inside us, is it? We're finished. Empty. And then in the akhirah, without the kalima, the person will depart from this world. And maut will come in a wretched way. It's our fault that in our lives we have brought destruction. And let's do dua to Allah. That Allah, please save us from the sins. Let us leave the sins. Let's seek shelter from shaitan. How? That totally the dua masura of Rasulullah ﷺ. That always we should recite those duas. Every second, every moment, Rasulullah ﷺ has taught us duas for drinking water, to eat, the method of eating, going to the toilet, the method of sleeping, how to wake up, how to sit, how to go to the masjid, how to leave the masjid, how to enter the masjid, the duas. Is this the case or not? So tell me, the vast ocean of Islam and guidance and practical lifestyle. There's another dua. Small dua after Fajr, when a person leaves after Fajr, then with the karam of Allah, I remember this dua, then I've seen the beautiful fountains, the rewards of this dua. No other dua will benefit. Allah's Nabi said that when you leave after Fajr, then recite this dua, this specific dua, that refuge from shaitan. After that, that Allah Ta'ala save me and protect me from shaitan. This is a small dua. So at that time, A person should, this is such a dua at that time that the effects, all day long they take place, the effects of that dua that you recited after Fajr. And that dua will not benefit the other dua that I said to ward off shaitan. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew what is the attack of shaitan at that time. So recite this dua, the second one. So do you understand what I'm saying? So don't be deceived. I pray salah, I do good actions. Totally that jinn and shaitan are within us. They have overtaken us. And all our illnesses today and problems are due to shaitan. Panadol, painkillers will not eliminate them. I swear by Allah. Go and straightforward ilaj cure that Rasulullah has prescribed. Allah's Nabi has prescribed beautiful cures. Simple cures. And when the jinn is extracted, I swear by Allah and say to you this, that your focus totally, straight away will go towards salah. Yes, nobody will say to you, recite or give a lecture, because all of the levels of iman will come into you. You won't need somebody to give you a speech, you won't be angry, you won't want to do commit a sin. These are all actions that jinnat make us do. Shaitan, girls, our daughters have run away from home, they become spoiled. Why? Because these are jinnat in their lives. All jinnat and shaitan, everything, all of this is jinnat that makes us do the bad. So there's no amil, magician, sorcerer, exorcist, whatever you want to call him, who can cure this. There's only one cure. The cure that Rasulullah was revealed to in the Quran, that ruju ilallah, turn to Allah in your homes, in your bodies, in your lives. Don't mix two things, sins and good deeds. No, keep them separate. Expel the sins. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, the ability to practice on this. Ameen.